Coming up on a derpy episode of The Morning Stream.
Denver had a Comic-Con over the weekend.
There might be Giants in Salt Lake City this weekend.
Willie Smith gets hard time for them ribs.
Burger King gave away a bunch of hands-free Whopper eaters.
Dan Aykroyd is not guilty.
After Earth could end Will Smith's bitty with it. Moneymaker.
A lot of Will Smith. Edith Bunker is no more.
Major spoilers.
Emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Wow, what a party.
Lasagna, what a mess.
Take me to your kitchen.
You'll help do the dishes?
Not with that lemon liquid. Here's something better for this job. Introducing new improved Joy. One little squirt puts the toughest squeeze on dirt. Look, Joy cleans better than your lemon liquid on foods like this.
My brand couldn't cut the dirt.
Joy left its dish shining.
Joy made this sparkle.
Uh-huh. Beautiful table, you said.
Thanks to Joy.
New Lemon Fresh Joy. One little squirt puts the toughest squeeze on dirt.
Don't doubt it. Try it.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. It's Totes Fat.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. It is Totes Fat. If you were to quantify it, it's Totes Fat. Hello, everybody.
Totes Fat.
I'm Scott. That's Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Scott. Boy, Fletcher is really street, isn't he?
He's so street that he is, I don't even know, when I see him, in July, I half suspect he'll come up in like chains and like gold watches and a pimp staff, you know?
He'll actually, instead of a clock on a chain around his neck, he actually has a an hourglass.
Oh, perfect. Just to be different.
Exactly.
Not that he doesn't want to be confused with that other guy. Instead of boy, he'll say girl or something. Looking forward to it. It'll be great.
Hey, gentlemen.
Scott Fletcher has entered the building. Yo. Anyway, I'm looking forward to seeing him then, all of you then, and Brian Ibbett then.
Sure.
Speaking of Brian Ibbett, though, we're gonna do a show right here, right now.
Oh, okay. Oh, good thing. I've actually got some time, so this is good.
My Uncle Joel would say, no more dicking around. All right. We're just gonna get right into it. Welcome to the show, everybody. It's good to be back. Long weekend for me. It felt long. It wasn't long, but it felt long. I don't know why. Just kind of an odd weekend. I gotta
like
tell
good
you.
Long, like if you got a lot accomplished kind or a lot of rest or
kind of a mix. There's a bunch of family in town, and it just kind of destroyed Sunday. Just made it a big quivering ball of worthlessness. So I don't know. So whenever the Sunday gets chopped out, I feel like I didn't really get a weekend, because Saturday you're still sort of getting used to the idea that the week's over, and you can kind of chill a little bit. But instead, I spent a bunch of time on Saturday working. So my actual like downtime didn't really happen. I know.
Bummer.
I know. So what are you going
to
do?
You're looking forward to it and you don't get it. It stinks.
Yeah, but this weekend I'm going to see They Might Be Giants in concert.
Oh, very good.
Now, you know, I'm not a big concert fan these days. I've talked about it on the show. I don't really like it. I find it obnoxious and annoying. But my wife talked me into it.
This one should be a little bit different than your typical concert.
Yeah, it should be pretty chill.
What are they? There Might Be Giants. What is this thing called?
What's that? It's cheap. Okay, we'll go.
They've got some dial-a-song service where you can call and hear a new song and they put it up. But there's no talking.
You've called Giant Phone. Yeah, they're coming to the Depot. That's a venue right down there in the gateway there.
Oh, okay.
So here's the fun bit. This is what we decided to do. Because here's the thing I like least about concerts isn't the concert so much. Well, some of it is. Because I just don't like being in proximity with stinky people, right? Just everybody around me like a sandwich. I don't like that. But what I don't like more is the traffic afterwards, the parking, and the getting out of there at some ungodly time of night.
Yes.
I hate that. So instead of fighting that, here's what we did. And this is how Kim talked me into it. She said, because she really wants to go. She says, what if we get a hotel at there in the gateway, right there.
Oh, smart.
And then we'll just stay Saturday night and come home Sunday.
Yeah.
And the idea is we can literally walk a block away from when the concert ends. It ends, we walk a block, and we're in a hotel, and we're done.
You don't have to hop in a car, make the long drive home,
traffic,
all that nonsense. That's
great. Look at
That's
the
brilliant.
Brain on Brad. Look at what I figured out how to do. So anyway, very exciting.
It sounded like Kim figured it out. Actually,
yeah, she did. Well, I suggested the hotel part, but she made it happen.
Gotcha. She wanted the concert. You wanted the hotel.
Yeah, we met in the middle. It's what a good marriage is made of.
Very good,
Brian. I'm more interested in how Denver Comic Con went. How was that?
Yes, the second year Denver Comic Con, and the second year that I've decided that one day at Comic Con Denver, or whatever they're calling it, Denver Comic Con, is just not enough. It's a 3-day event, Friday afternoon, then Saturday, and all day Sunday, or all day Saturday, all day Sunday. And we decided to go just for Saturday, like get tickets for the full day Saturday, and you spend about. You know, they weren't expecting the crowds they had, right? It was a huge, huge event.
Yeah, I heard it was way bigger this year.
Yeah, Andy Collier, big shout out to him. He's a Film Sack fan and interviewed me for his Movie Minute podcast while I was there.
Yeah.
He told me that this was the largest opening of any Comic-Con ever, like the largest opening day, largest number of people for an opening day, which... I'm saying, you mean bigger than San Diego Comic-Con?
Yeah.
And he said, must be. That's the thing that they were saying about it.
Wow, you're
which
kidding.
Blows my mind. I mean, San Diego Comic-Con is a juggernaut,
yeah,
right?
That's the biggest one. It's the hallmark of Comic-Cons, isn't it?
It is.
Supposedly.
Yeah. So I don't know how that's, you know, how it's measured. Maybe by...
How many people in Princess Leia metal bikinis?
There were quite a few. It was the exposed midriff, underboob, side boob, top boob, and butt cheek extravaganza. I've said this before, like about Dragon Con.
Yeah.
You can take any superhero, any supervillain, put the word hot in front of it,
yeah,
and have a female costume.
Hot Almost Vader. Any. Hot Vader, like, hot...
right. Hot...
No hot Jabba the Hutt, though. No Jabba.
No hot Jabba the Hutt, but hot Captain America's, hot Thor. I mean, we saw like a bunch of different Thor women, Thoras, I guess.
Yeah, Thorazines, come on.
Thorazines. The only one I came up with that you couldn't do that with, although I'd like to see somebody try, is a man thing. I'd like to see some hot chick pull off the exposed midriff, bare-legged.
Yeah. Not gonna happen.
Underboob man thing. I want to see the hot woman man thing.
It's an interesting, you know what? It's a really interesting voluntary thing that a lot of women do at these Comic Cons. That I try to get my head around the kind of the psychology of it. So like you and I would never show up as hot dude Captain America with like a blue Speedo and a, you know what I mean? Like that would just never even cross my freaking mind to do that.
If I looked a little bit better, I think I would.
All right. Let's say you and I had the bodies of some of the 300. Okay. Maybe then. But these girls that show up in virtually nothing, like some of them are wearing like tassels and a piece of tape.
I sent you photos of three women and one guy. No, two women and one guy dressed as Lilu Dallas from The Fifth Element.
Ah, multipass. Yeah, I saw that.
In her gownless evening strap outfit.
the Band-Aid business she wore
in the
movie.
The Band-Aid business, sure, exactly.
Sure.
And one of them had some serious underboob.
Yeah.
Then one guy, yes. But they were all posing. Did you see who they were posing with?
No, who was that? I didn't know who that was.
It was a guy dressed as David Bowie's character from Labyrinth.
Oh, I just thought it was just a guy. It didn't occur to me
he
was
Labyrinth.
No, you'll
have to look at that photo again. Like, he's got the cod piece and Sarah.
I like your photo of Steve Wiebe. He was dressed appropriately, though.
He was dressed like just some guy.
Yeah,
you know?
Just Steve Wiebe.
But Steve Wiebe was there, and then the guy, the Twin Galaxies, the main dude who dresses like guy from Foot Locker.
Oh, now I can see he's trying to be David Bowie. He's just not very good.
Oh, I think it's a great costume.
He looks like who is it? CC for Poison that played the guitar. He looks like CC.
CC DeVille.
Yeah, that's who that reminds me of. But that girl next to him's cute.
Yes.
And clearly unashamed.
Yes, that's the one with the underboob. You know, I should, instead of just talking about these, I will post these up on my Twitter feed.
Yeah. The guy.
It's not fair to sit here and talk about these people and not.
Yeah, and if you were interested in a little bit of way overexposed man wiener, that guy in the end. Woo! Anyway.
That is, I mean, he's John Hamm in it, isn't he?
That's cool, though. So I know a bunch of people were there. I know, I guess Stan Lee canceled, but...
Stan Lee canceled. He was busy making an appearance in a Marvel film, which we can assume is the Days of Future Past
Oh, yeah. That one is in production, so.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
I got to spend some time with Jerry Conway.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait.
Punisher. Yes.
Jerry Conway. Oh, Jerry Conway.
Jerry Conway.
Our friend Jerry Conway.
Yes, creator of The Punisher and the guy who killed Gwen Stacy.
Okay, got it. Yep, he's famous for that one. No, yes. That's totally cool. What did he have to say? We've talked a ton, but I've never actually been able to meet the guy.
I've never met him. This is my first time meeting him in person also, so yeah. I was really, really happy to meet him. And he said, wow, Brian, you're much taller in person. Must be the fez.
Were you wearing your fez?
I did pick up a fez. I picked up a Tesla fez from Fezorama, which I'll be wearing at Nerdtacular.
Nobody wears fez like you, by the way.
Hey, I can rock the fez.
That's right.
He is the nicest guy ever. Yeah, like, just the most affable, friendly, just so cool.
Yeah, he's a cool dude with a cool legacy. Doesn't get enough credit for the stuff he made. Speaking of Man Thing, it's his creation. Made that dude.
Right.
There was no Man Thing before him. There was no Punisher without Jerry Conway.
No Punisher. Right.
There was no is it Marvel Girl? Who's the really hot looking, ridiculously like overly hot? I can't remember her name.
Oh, Black Cat?
No. Shoot.
Ms. Marvel.
Ms. Marvel, that's it. Ms. Marvel.
He created Ms. Marvel.
Yeah, I want to say that was his.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think I'm right about that. I better make sure. But I think so. Wow. Yeah, Jerry's a prolific dude.
And they got up there and they did this panel, and Paul Ryan was up there as well. And I didn't recognize the name Paul Ryan, but then he started talking. And he worked on Iron Man for a run. He worked on the Hulk. He worked on the Avengers. I mean, this was, again, a guy from big in the 70s and 80s at Marvel Comics.
He's had his name smushed a little bit by Paul Ryan, the Republican presidential candidate. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. But he, it's funny, getting like the two of them were on a four-person panel up there, and hearing them talk about the old days with Stan and Jack and John Byrne and, all these names, all these great names, it sounds like this would be, if there was ever going to be a successor to Mad Men, mm-hmm. The going back to the original days of Marvel Comics and doing a soap opera style, a Mad Men style series about the early days of Marvel.
Yeah, just use all their sets and stuff. Why don't you do that? Like, exactly. I mean, I know some of that stuff went earlier, but set it during
sets,
the Stan Lee
wardrobe,
time.
All that stuff.
Yeah, you're done. You got all you need. All that beer and all that booze, all those cigarettes, you'd be set.
Oh my God, it'd be incredible.
That'd be cool. Well, it sounds like a blast, dude. I'm jealous.
It was a blast.
Yeah.
Yes, Will Wheaton.
Oh, Will Wheaton. Did you meet him?
I didn't talk to him. No, I just saw him over in his little signy booth. There's, they've got the booths. It's funny the way they've got it set up is a little bit different than like the Dragon Con setup, where everybody's in one big room and you're kind of lining up, for everybody, and mm-hmm. you're going down the line. Here, each person kind of has their own gated off line, mm-hmm. and they're all right next to each other. So it's almost like a bar graph showing the popularity. It's exactly what it is. So like you've got Felicia Day, and then you've got Sandeep.
Sandeep. The guy that works. Yeah. The dude on the guild. Yeah.
The dude on the guild. And then mm-hmm. the blonde gal on the guild.
Right.
Right next to her. And it's like a big bar graph showing the popularity of Felicia Day versus Sandy and the blonde gal from the guild.
A bar graph. That's awesome. And,
George Takei was there.
Oh, yeah? Did he, when you walked by, did he see your fez and go, oh, my.
Oh, my. Yes.
That's great, dude.
Yeah, it was great. It was a really, really good time.
I want to go.
You got to come. Next year, we're doing the full 3-day thing next year.
Yeah, just come next year. I'll just fly out there.
Just come out. You got a place to stay. Yeah. You got a nice spare bedroom here.
Yeah. We could do that. I'll bring Kim with me. She'd love to go.
Absolutely. We'd love to have you guys.
Or the boy. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Okay. If I had seen Will Wheaton, I would have yelled this.
Wesley, get off the bridge, you little piece of shit.
I would have said that. So let's talk about... Where the hell was I? Oh, so that happened. That's good. Found out you're a bit of a racist, by the way.
Okay. All right.
Do you want to... Do you want to know why?
I'd like to know why. I'd like to know how I'm a little bit of a racist.
All right, just a little bit of one. We got somebody.
That damn yellow alert comment just keeps coming up.
No, this one's a little bit more domestic. Oh, somebody had sent us a clip on the show of you exposing your true feelings toward a very specific part of the United States makeup. All right. And now you need to hear it so we can
shredding this.
Purge this from your personality. So here it is. This is Brian last week exposing his racial tendencies. Here you go. I know Brian's not a fan. Wasn't that you?
I'm not nuts about him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like
Hispanics.
This is a race.
Yes.
I just think that in some cases, they can be portrayed very two-dimensionally, like there's honor and there's nothing else. And I think there should be multifaceted. There should be multi-layers.
All right. So it's less about you being a racist about the Hispanics, but more that you feel like they're being portrayed two-dimensionally in this world.
Right. See, if anything else, I'm complaining that Hispanics are being poorly represented.
I like, listen. Wow,
I was worried that this was going to be something that was edited together.
No. Only one word.
Photoshopped.
What I'd like to say with, and by the way, I didn't write his name down, but thank you for sending that. I wanted to say this, that if that sparks a bunch of these, I would not have a problem playing them. I think it's a funny idea to take what we say out of context, which happens naturally sometimes anyway.
Right.
But I'm down with that. So send those in and we would be glad to play them on the show. All right.
As a race, I can't say I'm a big fan of high birdums.
It's difficult to know where her racial makeup, so you're safe still. You're still safe.
Yes. By the way, happy birthday to Andrew Allen.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Our little musician man turns 20-something, I guess.
Yeah.
He's still young. He got married, too, over the weekend.
He did, over a couple weekends.
Oh, was it last weekend?
Last weekend, yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
It definitely wasn't this weekend, because he was on his honeymoon last week, so it was last weekend that he got married.
Last couple of weeks are a blur for me. I really don't remember anything. I really don't. I don't know what's going on. Time is so compressed right now.
Oh.
And seriously, you're all going to be in Snowbird in like a half an hour. That's what it feels like.
God, I know. It does, doesn't it?
I have the coolest special guest coming that you don't even know about yet.
Really?
Ooh. Because it just got confirmed yesterday, and I've been asked to keep it a secret so that we can make a big whoop out of it on the first day. But okay. Some people will probably see him the night before and go, oh, isn't that such and such? But it's going to be a nerd-gasm.
Is it really? Yeah. Oh, dude, I can't wait.
You're going to flip out.
Can't
for those
wait.
For those speculating, no, it's not Hodor. He's busy. He's busy.
I was gonna say Hodor.
He's busy.
He's a little agitated last night.
Oh, that show, dude! I didn't see the episode yet, but I know where they're at because I've read it. Clearly, all I had to do was like turn on Twitter and see the outrage and go, "Oh, okay, so we made it to that chapter, did we?"
That's where we're at in GOT.
I see what's happened. Yes. That's some rough stuff, and I don't know how it's portrayed, but I assume pretty accurately because people are losing their crap.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
I did. Yeah.
Was it pretty rough? It was rough stuff.
Pretty rough.
Yeah.
I'm not again. You know, I'm not going to Stephen Schleicher this one.
No Schleicherisms today.
I'm kidding. Yeah, I love Stephen.
We do
Schleicher.
Too. He'll be here later today, by the way.
Good.
Yeah. Looking forward to that. All right. Enough of our jibber jabby. Jibber jabber. Let's call. What's that from?
Jibber jabby.
Don't give me no more of your jibber jabby. Who says that?
Sounds a little bit like Mr. T, but...
Is it Mr. T? Don't give me none of your jibber jabby. I think it is Mr. T. Yeah. I don't know, whatever.
Stop the jibber jabber.
That might be it. Let's call Daryl. I got a couple bucks left on this thing.
All right, let's do it.
I got $4. $4.
I need to practice my reading of this next thing. Here we go. Okay.
All right, you ready for that? All right. Here we go. Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by...
The Nerd's Domain presents Masks of Nyarlathotep, a Call of Cthulhu play podcast at tinyurl.com/nerdmasks. Join us in our podcast as we follow our investigators as they unravel devilish plots using the Call of Cthulhu 6th edition rules. Only 7 days left. Check it out at tinyurl.com/nerdmasks.
Absolutely. Please support them. All right. Daryl, before we get to... Good morning, by the way.
Yes, good morning.
I don't want to get too deep into this before I mention the following. Not the show with Kevin Bacon in it. The following thing I'm going to say, not the show, the following. I was on the treadmill this morning before the show. I decided that would be a way to kind of break me out of my coma that I was in this morning. And I watched an episode, the first half of the two-parter premiere of Voyager this morning.
Hmm.
And it was on a bit of a fluke. I'm kind of in the middle of DS9 with my daughter, and so it's not like I was in any rush to get there. But I thought, let's just throw it in there. Because I had made such a cartoon out of Janeway the last couple of years that I'd kind of forgotten what the show might be like. And, you know, I just thought, well, I'm running. I got nothing else. Let's just put that on. Let's see what's going on. So I watched it. I'm about halfway through the first, or I'm through the first episode and into the second, just barely, and then I had to quit. I think Voyager is way better than we think it was. I think Voyager's, it's the long haul is a different question, and we'll see when we get years into it, but it's really good. Like, it's got, I think at the time, so let me just back my brain up a little bit. At the time, I remember being in an AOL chat room on premiere night, okay? So there's this brand new UPN network. This was one of their flagship projects. I'm sitting in front of a computer, and there's a TV on, and I'm talking in an AOL chat room. I just want to put that in perspective. 1995 was the year, everybody. I was on dial-up, and I'm talking, you know, ancient early days of the internet. But here we are.
Are you male or female?
A bunch of nerds, Star Trek nerds who have AOL in a chat room about to watch this premiere. And I remember at the time being like, oh, I don't know if I want to have it be where they're lost and they can't get back. Like, I remember having a problem with that premise at the time. And I remember thinking, oh, she's not Picard, and he's not Riker. And, you know, all these, you were just comparing everything to what had come before. And you kind of gave Deep Space Nine a pass because it was this weird offshoot in a space station somewhere. And we needed something to fight all those Babylon 5 nerds, right? So that was the reason that was a deal. But in this particular case, I just remember thinking, I don't know. It shouldn't be in the Gamma Quadrant, and you shouldn't have to deal with that. And who's this Neelix freaking thing? It's like having Orko on your ship with a He-Man show, you know? So it's kind of, I had all of these issues with it at the time, and always kind of marked it down as like, not my favorite of the series. But I'm kind of like way into this first episode, like way into it. And it's, and Janeway, for all her Janeway-isms, she's pretty affecting as a leader. On a ship. I mean, she may be a little bit, you know, have that, you know, whatever, but she's still just kind of got this good command. And I don't know. I'm ready to put all my biases to the wayside like I used to have and just accept Voyager for what it is. And I have a feeling I'm going to be pleasantly surprised because I already am surprised how much I like it.
Yeah. It's my third favorite of all of them.
Wow. So how do you go? You go TOS, TNG, that?
Well, close. I go TNG, TOS, and Voyager.
Oh, that's right. You put Next Generation ahead of the old one. That's true. You've told us that before. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, let me just put it out there that if you feel like it doesn't deserve your time, I would argue you may want to check it out. And there's something about that ship that's pretty cool. It's also my favorite theme, like musical theme of all of them.
Oh, really?
Oh, by far. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love that theme. I like them all.
I like it too.
But
yeah,
that one's just great. And I like their opening sequence probably the best. And I really I think the ship is cool. But, you know, at the time you're like, this isn't the Enterprise. It's not the same. It's not the Enterprise. You know, you just had all of that built-in bias. And I don't have it now. And I'm feeling pretty excited about it. Now I want to watch it. So I think I'm going to watch it. Anyway, there you go.
Yeah,
there's your Star Trek update for the day. All right, Daryl, let's get to your question. Trivia time.
Oh, and they have good hallways, too.
Beautiful hallways. They're not all carpeted and stupid looking and cream colored. they're right. Kind of industrial, but still nice to look at. They don't have as many plants as the Enterprise did. The Enterprise had a lot of plants and a lot of leather pleather chairs and things. This one's a lot less, a little bit more industrial. And that bridge, big open bridge, like lots of space on that bridge. Not some tight little room like it is on all the other series. This one is like a big open, big space. I mean, Harry Kim had his own cubicle for heaven's sakes. Back there. You remember
that? Lots of room to go flying.
Yeah, that's right. And don't forget how awesome, I think he's the best doctor in the entire Star Trek history. And it's for all you people out there, say McCoy or everyone who thinks, you know, freaking, what's her name, Skeletor or any of those other people are good. I would take the holographic doctor, Robert Picardo's doctor, any day of the week. I think he's awesome. Anyway.
I think he's great, too. The only problem I had with him is he seems too human, but I think I'm starting to get over that now, finally.
Yeah, well, you got to remember it was like, they tried to explain that. Like, he was this advanced AI that could...
Right. He's got to be human because, you know, somebody's not going to turn their head and cough with with a doctor holding their whatever.
Right.
If they don't feel comfortable, if they don't feel like they can relate to him, so I can see that.
I remember being bugged a little bit that he at some point he's able to now move around the ship freely. Doesn't that happen at some point? I think it does.
For the
longest time, you could not leave the medical thing. He was locked in there. That's as far as his program would go. And then they figured out a way to project him all around the ship. And I remember being a little bit sad when that happened. Because there was something about the restriction that made him more interesting. But anyway, good stuff. Go watch it on Netflix now. Daryl, here's your hard trivia question for Stump a Trek Nerd today. Monday, June 3rd, 2013. Let the record state. In the Next Generation episode, Aquile? I don't know how you say that.
I would pronounce that. Hold on a second here. Sorry. I was looking at the Aquile.
Aquile. Sure.
Oh, okay.
Geordi falls in love with Aquile. Whatever.
They're saying, ironic name is saying Equile.
Okay, Equile. Fine. He might be kidding.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Geordi falls in love with Equile Yuharnanara. Yunara. she enjoyed a strange fruit beverage, but often mentioned it in her personal logs. What drink did she often drink? Was it A, the Muscan seed punch, B, the Fala nectar, C, the Carvino juice, or D, Taran juice, I guess I'd say it.
Oh, Taran juice.
Yeah, gross, right? It's not as bad as Zerg punch. Muscan seed punch, Fala nectar, Carvino juice, or Taran juice. Something like that. While you think about it, there's no food. So give us a
burp. I was going to say. Yeah.
I got nothing. I got this. I'm drinking a sparkling ice, orange mango, naturally flavored sparkling mountain spring water, zero calorie beverage here. That's what I'm drinking. What are you drinking, Brian?
I'm drinking some Storyville coffee. I got to say, Storyville, David, Michael, if you're listening, Here is somebody I'd like to get as a sponsor for Coverville. Obviously, there's the name correlation there, Storyville, Coverville. But this is damn good coffee. And I got, so the bag I got that had roasted beans in it arrived 2 days after it was roasted. So like it said on the bag, roasted on 5/28/2013, and I got it on 5/30.
Wow.
2013. So it was freshly roasted, and these beans and the coffee is fantastic.
That's amazing.
And they do a really cool deal with like weekly deliveries and stuff. See, I'm doing a sponsorship for them without getting paid, so I don't want to do that.
Yeah, let's do that. TMS needs a new slot.
TMS, yes. Yeah. Yes.
And Coverville. So let's make this happen.
Yeah, actually, it should be for both, really, because the morning stream, coffee, come on. It's the perfect pairing.
The Coverville. What?
Yes.
All right, perfect. Paul Ryan is still up on my browser. I don't know why. All right, Daryl. For birthdays, did somebody celebrate something?
Yes, that would be Susie Plaxen. She is 55 today. She played the Vulcan Dr. Salar on TNG and Kalar, the female for Worf on the, I don't know what I wrote. But anyway, she was also a female Q.
Okay.
She was a female Q on Voyager.
Okay.
And Tara on Enterprise.
When do we get...
She's the half human, half Klingon, the hot half Klingon. Chick.
No,
I think that was her, wasn't it?
No, that's B'Elanna Torres, isn't it? You guys thinking of a different chick?
Okay, you're right.
On TNG, it was Worf's girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
Andrew's mother. Here's a picture. Oh, whoops, that didn't copyright. I found pictures of her in online here.
Hey, we're all
good pictures, not nudie pictures.
No. New pictures. we're all men here. How do we stand on the B'Elanna Torres attraction meter? What do you guys think about her?
Oh, she's very attractive.
Engineering on Voyager. No, not so much, Daryl?
Yeah.
I think she's cute. I like a tough chick, so that it's in her favor.
Lieutenant Torres.
I like tough ladies.
Please report to my ready room with a jar of bag bomb.
And your bumpy head, please. thank you very much. My least favorite character on there is probably Paris, but not because of the character, but I think the actor just kind of drives me slightly nuts. Something about him. Can't take him seriously. Everybody else I'm fine with. Chakotay's kind of dumb, too. Whatever.
It's funny. So she played... So looking at the pictures of Susie Plaxen, she played both a Klingon and a Vulcan.
Oh, wow.
On the show.
Well, she just needs to be a Romulan close the loop.
Then there's another shot of her just dressed as in regular Starfleet.
Oh, duds. Interesting. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, she got around.
They got use out of her.
One last thing I was going to say about Voyager. I think part of the reason that I was kind of predisposed against it was I have a natural, I think a lot of people do, but a natural fear of being lost in a place where you can never get back. And that show kind of reminded me of that every week. I'm over that now. You could lose me any day you want. So it's not going to bother me. I'm all back in, guys. I'm watching Voyager. It's going to be like freaking West Wing and all up in here.
I was all about the exploration. That's why I like TNG so much, because it was exploration. It wasn't, hey, we're stuck here, everything come to us, like Deep Space Nine. And it wasn't Voyager. Well, we know the shortest distance from here to Earth is this straight line, so let's go this way.
Right. But it still had, it could do the exploration at the same time, but you're right, it was more like by accident or by inconvenience.
It's a road trip, man. It's the ultimate road trip.
Right.
You want to stop at the world's biggest ball of twine? Let's go stop there.
Here would have been a better idea.
All right.
I'm going to rewrite the world for Rick Berman, okay? Here's what you should have done. You should have said, this isn't an accident. They on purpose traveled that far because they wanted to explore that quadrant of space no one's ever been to. Mm. Make it an exploratory, like, imperative. We want to go all the way there.
Yeah.
And then you would have had a different kind of outlook, I think, on things. Even if when they got there, then getting back, the experimental warp drive capacity or whatever stopped working and they had to figure out a way to get that working again over the seasons or something. I could have dealt with that better than just lost in space is basically what they did.
Really is, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Or Gilligan's Island.
I do need, I'll give Voyager another chance. I'll give it it's on streaming, right?
Yeah, the whole thing. Whole schmear.
Yeah. Okay.
And the production values are just good. The effects are better. Mm-hmm. It came out when DS9 was still running. There's even a Quark. Quark is the big crossover cameo in
it. Oh, really? Okay.
Because they stop off at Deep Space Nine where they're docked, and he's great as always. That guy's great. Every Star Trek show has someone who lifts the show, whatever the series is, to a little bit higher level. For me, it's Picard in TNG, so it's Patrick Stewart, and it's Shimmerman in Deep Space Nine who lifts them a little bit. And in Voyager, it's probably, oh, geez, who is it in Voyager? Maybe they don't have one. Maybe that's part of their problem. I don't know.
Would it be Bacula and Enterprise? Or you liked
I didn't like Tucker. Enterprise at all. I wanted to like it. You know what? I'll watch that again, too. Maybe my biases are showing, and maybe I should give it a chance. But it's that opening song, dude. That just kills me.
Get past that. But it's like, you know, I think people say, you know, you watch the first three seasons of Enterprise and stop.
Yeah, because the fourth is ridiculously bad.
That's what I hear, yeah. I haven't seen it myself, but I did see the first three.
I mean, hold on. Quick reminder, all right? Hold on. I'm going to just do this real fast.
Okay.
So you can just remember how bad this is.
Oh, geez.
Here you go. Right. Just right here. Okay. Just real quick. It's real brief, guys. I'm just going to take a second. Okay. Oh, come on. I'm getting a bunch of text. Okay, here we go. It's been a long, guys.
Just that's what fast forward is for. Zip right over it.
But they have such a history of great thematic theme songs, and then they turn around and this intro visual, I talked about this the other day. The intro is so visually cool. There's like nothing wrong with it. It's actually a really great idea. Showing man's progress and exploration toward the stars and all this stuff is great. But then this kicks in with, it may as well be Michael Bolton right here. Check it out. That's that. Oh, it's so shite.
Yes, it's bad. It's okay.
Horrible. Ugh, it makes me so angry. That could have been cool. Just do a big sweeping Goldsmith thing and you'd be good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it would have improved that show. All right. Sorry, Daryl. Way back around to where we were. Musk and Seed Punch, Fala Nectar, Carvino Juice, or Taran Juice, however that goes.
Well, I can't choose the last one. For obvious reasons.
It's like choosing your favorite. It's like choosing your favorite kid. It's nothing like
that. I don't know what it's like.
It's nothing like that. It's a terrible comparison. I forgot to log into the chat room. I'm now doing that. Continue.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm jealous about They Might Be Giants and you just seeing them. I've been trying to see them for decades, and something always happens. One time I was going to go with...
Go ahead.
I was going to go with a friend, and he got tickets, and we were all set to go. And then they, at the last minute, he called and said, oh, I lost the tickets. And then another time, they canceled the show, and that was in, I think, Vancouver or something. I was going to leave the country to see them, and that got canceled. So, and then the last time we went, I was going to go with my son, who at the time was 13, and they said, oh, no, you guys can't go in because it's 14 and older. And so, how old are you? 13. Oh, you can't go in. So then we couldn't go. So I've just finally given up.
Yeah.
I've just tried to see them.
You're just not going to see them again?
It's not going to happen.
I'm trying to convince Kim that we should dress up as Particle Man and Triangle Man. When we go.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, it would be. So I'll let you know how it is. You know what? Concert. I don't care. So if you were here, I'd let you have mine. It wouldn't be a problem.
But see, they put on a great show. I've seen them twice. They put on a really, really good show.
Wait, Ralph just said something that cracked me up. Ammerman Shimmerman to star in M. Night Shyamalan's biopic of Bananarama. Awesome. Way to go, Ralph. All right. Well, all right. So what do you think on these? Where are you at? What do you want?
Okay. I was thinking, at first I was thinking Nectar. And then I didn't really change my mind because I don't remember. So maybe I'll just stay with that.
Fala Nectar? Is that the one?
Bala?
Fala.
Is that what it is?
Fala.
I like the nectar. If I could combine nectar with one of the other things.
All right. Like,
what are the other ones again?
It's Muscan Seed Punch, Fala Nectar,
like
Carvino Juice, or Terran Juice.
If I could do Carvina Nectar, I really like that.
That sounds all right, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, let's... I don't know.
Sadly, not an option, by
the way. I'm sure that's what Iceworm meant. He meant for you to actually pick part of one answer.
Yeah.
Going down a very different path today.
Right.
Oh, there's a bunch of silence here. I should change my answer now.
No, you just need to pick one. Oh, I thought you hadn't picked one yet. Which one did you say then? Nectar or something?
Well, I did say Nectar, but now I'm going
to... All right.
Now I want Carvana whatever.
All right. Carvino juice. Carvino juice. All right. I'll ask the judges right now. Hey, judges, is it this Nectar or juice? Which one of these is right?
Nah.
It was Muscan Seed Punch.
Oh, no.
She enjoyed this beverage. Jordy tried to get some but couldn't stand the taste before meeting her. They believe that she might be responsible for the murder on Station 47. It turns out they...
47.
The person she later accused of murdering was a shape-shifting coalescent?
Coalescent.
Oh. Shite. I can't read.
Not even an alien word.
Organism. It is to me. The organism takes the form of a dog later in this episode and tries to attack Jordy. Here is the clip of that happening. Coalescent.
Mara, come on, not now. Mara, I said not now. Come on, give me a break here. Not... Go lay down! Mara?
Good lord, dude. Jeez, Ice Worm.
Zulu's, pink horned poodle, is it?
No. The one played by Clint Howard. Is that the one?
Right, yes.
All right. Well, there you go. It's Daryl's kicked off the week with a bang and one of the longest Stumpet Trek nerds we've ever done. He's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. Follow him there, and you can also listen to his fine podcast, This Week in Trek, at thisweekintrek.com. Daryl, do you have a quote? What do you got?
Okay. What you no longer have, Q, is unlimited control of space, matter, and time, which means I give the orders around here. Do I make myself clear?
Riker.
Okay, you say Riker. I'll say Picard just because I kind of want to say that guy from L.A. Law who was the other Q and took all his powers away, but I'm not going to say that.
I was thinking it was when he gave Riker the powers.
Be right. I forgot about that. That was weird.
Boy, the tadpole is full of different answers.
Yeah, I'll say Riker. Picard, you say Riker. Who won?
And as you go through Voyager, you will find out that it's Janeway.
damn it. Freaking Janeway. They're 7 of 9. It's the news.
And it's brought to you by FilmSack.com, where bad movies have no idea what's coming. This week, The Philadelphia Experiment. Subscribe today at FilmSack.com.
Philadelphia Experiment, indeed. Good episode. It's up now.
Very much like The Final Countdown.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd be surprised.
Kind of the opposite of The Final Countdown.
Kind of a weird... It does feel like at times we were watching that movie over again.
Kind of does.
But yeah. Then other times it was clear we were watching something much, much worse.
Watch out for that giant manhole cover.
I think if I had to rate them, I think I preferred the old one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I preferred this one.
Yeah, the one was smart.
I preferred Philadelphia Experiment.
Did you really? Yeah. All right, let's fight about that. not really. I don't have the energy. Let's get to the news. Willie Smith. Willie Smith style. Willie Smith Ward is his full name. Sentenced to 50 years in prison for killing a dude? No. For grand larceny? No. For peeing on the president? No. It's for stealing a rack of ribs.
What?
Trying to steal a $35 rack of pork ribs will cost a Texan man 50 years in prison. This seemingly stiff sentence handed down Wednesday dates back to September 2011. Which is when the incident occurred, in which Willie Smith Ward, age 43, aren't they always, attempted to steal a package of meat from the HEB grocery store, or HEB, in Waco, Texas. You think Waco's over their whole, everybody treats them weird?
David Koresh thing.
Do you think that's over for them?
Probably, yeah.
Maybe a little bit. I think of it every time I read it.
I do too. I can't see the word Waco without thinking about that. Just like if I see the world, words World Trade Center, I'll probably think of 9/11 for the rest of time.
Yeah, how can you not? But somebody could say
Jonesboro. There's some places that are always going to have that stigmatism.
But people can say Vietnam to me now, and I don't necessarily jump to the
stigma,
war.
Not stigmatism. Stigma.
Yeah, the stigmatism. Yeah, right.
Stigma.
The nearsightedness and the farsightedness. The oblong shape of the eye.
Right. Stigma.
Hey, what are you, me all of a sudden? You're cutting into my...
No, I'm sorry. I'm trying to steal your vocabulary thunder.
Yeah, vocabo-thunder. Thunder-labbery. Anyway.
That was my prison nickname.
It works every time. An employee approached Ward and asked what he had under his clothing. Ward said, "I got a knife," after the ribs fell out beneath his shirt.
Whoops.
The Waco Tribune Herald reports Ward's lengthy rap sheet will likely affect the decision of the jurors, who required 2 minutes to convict Ward and roughly an hour to determine his sentence. His previously convicted stuff included burglary, attempted robbery, cocaine possession, and theft, among others. This verdict shows that the citizens of this county will not tolerate a continued disrespect and disregard for the people and their property, says Assistant District Attorney J.R. Vicha. Vicha. People who choose to do so will be dealt with seriously and appropriately.
So, really? So the headline is misleading. So it's like, 50 years in prison for stealing a rack of ribs. No, it's basically the three strikes and a pack of ribs and you're out.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's exactly right. I still feel like it's a little stiff, but...
Three strikes and a pack of ribs.
Yeah. I mean, the attempted robbery and burglary stuff and all that. I mean, cocaine possession, I guess. I mean, I don't know what drug convictions are like, but... But these other things are, they're serious things. I get it. But that having that be the last straw, you took the rack of ribs. Now we're throwing the book at you. I feel like maybe the book should have been thrown earlier.
We're throwing the rack at you.
Burger King, speaking of racks.
Sure.
Look at the rack on Burger King. This is actually true. There's kind of a rack in the story. Burger King creates a hands-free Whopper holder.
This is a real thing? I thought it was like the... fake product,
Nope. This is the real thing. Here's what they did. Tired of the exercise required to lift a burger to your mouth, Brian? Have no fear. Burger King has found your solution. In celebration of its 50th anniversary in Puerto Rico. It's a weird place to do this.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, it's the 50th anniversary of them being in Puerto Rico.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
The burger chain gave away 50 hands-free Whopper holders. Exactly what they sound like, plastic burger-holding devices that hang from the neck, leaving you hands-free to perform all sorts of tasks. So you just, it's like those harmonica holders,
Right, exactly. So this is John Popper was first in line to get one of these.
He's all skinny now,
Invented by John Popper.
I think he's all skinny now. Let me look at him. I want to look at him now and just see. Oh, yeah, he's...
Yeah.
He's and therefore way less effective as a interesting musician. Don't you think sometimes this happens? Like nobody cared about Wayne Knight after he lost all that weight, but now he's fat again and they're hiring him again. It's like,
oh really? Oh yeah. Wow.
And that who's that kid now that everyone likes? Your super bad kid.
Josh.
No, we always forget Jonah Hill. His name.
Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna have to tape his name to my monitor because I can never remember the damn kid's name.
Well, Jonah Hill was my prison name. when I was doing my hard time.
Right.
Let's see. A Burger King produced video announcing the product shows Happy Whopper eaters using their hands to ballroom dance, practice karate, box, trim hedges, give massages, and shoot hoops. I mean, obviously, Burger King's having some fun with this.
Sure.
All to the sound of an electric guitar. There is no sound with an air guitar. The video begins with an introduction in Spanish that reads, "In a world of multitasking, how can you use your hands to do your daily activities?" Let's see, wait. "How can you use your hands to do your daily activities and eat a Whopper at the same time?" That's a damn good question. And they came with an answer. All right, moving on.
Albino Chinchilla and the Tadpole says, "Fat Bane."
Fat Bane.
That's what you look like when you've got that thing over your mouth.
You kind of, yeah.
"My Whopper will be severe.
Now I can do other things. Now I eat my Whopper.
Nom, 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 nom."
Who's your favorite weird voiced villain in these movies? So you got your Bane. Now you got you'll never see me coming.
Oh yeah, I do like the Mandarin's
it's pretty
delivery.
Cool.
That's kind of cool. I don't know. I think I still got to give it to Heath Ledger's Joker.
Where's Harvey Dent? Right.
Yes. Yeah. I came up with an idea for a comic. By the way, I told you about my Rorschach and Horseshack team up idea.
Yeah.
I came up with another one. I want to have the Joker, the Heath Ledger Joker, talking to Sally from The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, nice.
You know, she's got her like stitches in her in her face, making her mouth.
Yep.
And he's looking at her going, "You want to know how I got these scars?" And Sally's like, "No."
No. She's made of leaves. Yeah. He is pretty good. He is pretty good. I have a pair of shoes that look like his shoes. And every time I wear them, I go, they're black and they're kind of just pointy. Mm-hmm. And I wear them and the kids hate it because every time I put those on, I walk in there and they'll look at me and I'll look at my feet and I'll smile at them and they'll go, "No." And I'll go, "Where's Harvey Dent?" at the top of my lungs. My kids hate it.
Nice.
Drive them nuts. All right. Tweaked Audio sponsoring that little tirade.
Sure.
Listen, if you need good earbuds, then what are you doing going to your Walmarts or your Targets or any of those crappy stores? I mean, they're fine for what they are. They give you things.
Mm-hmm.
Things to buy at Walmart in case they ever want to sponsor the show. I don't want to besmirch them.
Right. It's not a place to buy your top-of-the-line audio gear, right?
No,
it's,
no. I mean, in a pinch, I suppose something there might work. But really what you want to do is go to tweakedaudio.com and get yourself a pair of really nice earbuds and spend less money. Spend Walmart prices because of this deal we're giving you, but on better stuff. Tweakedaudio.com is the place. Stream is the code at checkout, and you'll get 33% off. That's a whole third, everybody. Look at me do some math for you. Do it today. That's tweakedaudio.com.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
It's Celebrity Poop, and it's brought to you by...
Win a pair of tickets to Nerdtacular 2013. Enter the random drawing at frogpants.com/contest. Many will enter, but only one will win.
They're going to award that Wednesday or Thursday, I think.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Good luck, people.
Yeah, go sign up. A bunch of you already have. Clearly a sign that many of you wished you had tickets and don't. Wish I had more to give, but there are two to give away, so watch for that. Don't bring fireworks. That's all I just keep reminding
people.
Yes,
no fireworks.
You will be arrested. It won't be like me arresting you, but like the park ranger.
No, we'll have Jeannie do it.
Yeah, she'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Aykroyd. You know Dan Aykroyd?
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, the greatest thing about the movie, one of the greatest movies of the last 20 years.
Oh, Gross Point Blank.
And he played Grocer. Yeah. And he got a head on. He got a TV for a head at the end. amazing performance. I love Dan Aykroyd. He was involved in a homicide case in Canada. I don't know if you knew
this. What?
Yeah.
I did not know this. Oh, my gosh.
It's one of those weird deals where you find out, like, Harry Connick Jr. does ramen noodle commercials in Japan, but you never knew. There's no way you would know.
Right, yes.
It's kind of like that. This thing happened in Canada. Nobody really knew too much about it, but here's why. It was opened because of a crappy movie is the reason. Dan Aykroyd became the focus of a homicide investigation when a landfill worker uncovered a film of the actor standing over a body, a bloody corpse. And it turns out he's guilty, but only of making a really stupid movie. Law enforcement's, this is really dumb that they even did this, but law enforcement really officials dumb. In Calgary, Canada, tell TMZ the dump worker found the damaged film on Wednesday afternoon and turned it into police, thinking he had stumbled upon evidence of an actual murder. We're told the employees didn't recognize Aykroyd, but once investigators, and Aykroyd's Canadian, I think. By origin,
yeah,
he is. Isn't he?
Yep, okay, he totally is. Yeah.
Not that they all know each other. I just, you know.
I should have recognized him. Eh?
Oh, check him out, eh?
Oh, well, he's from Ottawa though. He's from Ontario.
Oh, that's across the
no
street.
No wonder I didn't recognize him because you were here in Calgary.
That's like 2 miles from here, eh?
I can see Ottawa though. If I look over there, there it is, right there.
That's no problem, eh? Where am I? Oh, but once investigators cleaned the dirty negative tape, they spotted the Ghostbuster. Problem is, they couldn't tell which one of his nearly 100 flicks they were seeing. Police then contacted the All American Speakers, a company that books celebrities for events, and also Dan's reps, who revealed the scene was from the 1980s bomb Loose Cannons. Did you ever see that?
I did not, but I'm looking at the IMDb page. So it's him and Gene Hackman, and this looks like it's rife for a cover or for a sacking.
Yeah, I agree.
Dan Aykroyd, Gene Hackman, Dom DeLuise, Nancy Travis, Ronnie Cox.
Whoa.
I'm one of our favorite. Yeah, no kidding. David Alan Grier.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Cannons. There was a Loose Cannons in 2010. That's not the one.
Oh, this sounds like something very innovative and very out of the box. An unconventional cop who doesn't take any bull is paired up with an amazing detective to capture some powerful criminals. But the cop soon realizes that his by-the-book partner has split personality disorder.
Great. And look at Gene Hackman on that cover. That is pathetic.
I need a paycheck.
Oh, that looks so bad, you guys.
I was in Hoosiers.
You know, the one with the weird synth soundtrack in it the whole time. It didn't fit.
Is it? Let me see if it's streaming while you're.
Yeah, you looked that up.
Yeah.
Police contacted. Oh, yeah, I did all that. Blah, blah, blah. If you've never heard of it, that's cool with Dan. When he called the investigation, he told us, or when called about the investigation, this is Dan Aykroyd's quote. He says, quote, "The movie should have been left in the landfill where it belongs," unquote. So even Dan. Dan the man, the Aykroyd man, saying, forget it.
Saying, yeah. Don't
he was my, when I was a kid, he was my least favorite SNL dude. And I only saw repeats and stuff, but I did not like him at all. There was something about him I didn't like. But now he is one of my favorite all time ever.
Yeah.
Comedian guys ever.
Yeah, I like him. And I totally am with you. I mean, there was something that wasn't appealing. Well, I'm getting static.
Robot man. Yeah, that's weird.
Let's see if that fixes it.
I don't know. It sounded like a little static or something.
Yeah, it was weird. There was something about him on his SNL days that just was not kid-friendly. Like, it was a very seedy, you know.
Like, dirty old man with a mustache kind of thing going
right,
on.
Right, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
But something happened when he started putting on weight and getting a little older.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say it was like early 80s, like Ghostbusters era.
Right.
And then everything was great from then
on. Yeah, totally. People are bringing up some of his greatest stuff, like the Bass-O-Matic, Johnny Switchblade, like when he was the toy salesman
stuff was good.
Was bringing all the different things onto the Gene Curtin.
It was really good.
I just didn't appreciate it.
I just didn't appreciate it at the time, you know?
Sure. He was half of the Wild and Crazy guys with Steve Martin.
Steve Martin, yeah. Did a bunch of cool stuff. And by the way, much underrated and rightly so, because you look at it and you go, oh, that's going to be dumb. But a very underrated SNL movie you should see is The Coneheads. It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It's weirdly good.
Yeah.
The Coneheads. But anyway, big. I just love Dan Aykroyd now.
And aside
I also
from
like
a little.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, aside from a little weight, the guy looks pretty close to how he looked in 1975.
Yeah. No big changes.
Yeah.
I even like that he's kind of crazy now. Like he's kind of. He believes in aliens and is. They're not that he believes in aliens, but he's specifically real big on the. Well, he has that. That what is it? The booze line, the vodka line, the
oh really?
The crystal skull stuff. That there's that big fight
oh,
over
yes.
the movie
right.
and all that. Yeah, he's just a little bit on. He's nuts, a little bit nuts, and I love that.
I wish I could find a bottle of that for less than $80. Oh, that Crystal Skull, because the bottle itself is so damn cool.
It's way cool. I buy one. I don't drink.
Yeah,
I want one. Yeah. So go watch Gross Point Blank and see him in his finest role he was ever cast in. Also, really good. He's really good as the son in Driving Miss Daisy. By the way.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And another one, the one with the kids. Oh, jeez. The one with the...
Oh, My Girl?
My Girl. I thought he was great in that. Just little, small, interesting roles.
Anna Chlumsky?
Yeah, yeah. And the Home Alone kid was in that, right? I think he was.
Yes, right.
The one that
Macaulay Culkin.
Looks like a meth head now. check this out. After Earth will end Will Smith's box office domination forever. This according to some critics. That movie is getting destroyed. Yeah. They do not like it. Let's look at the latest. Just real quick here. Which is too bad. I mean, what are you gonna
do? In other news, Will Smith just got cheaper for your movies. For future movies.
Well, one problem is it only did $27 million opening weekend, which is nothing compared to the $150 million it cost to make.
Wow.
Came in third place without even trying. Let's see. 12%. Rating on Rotten Tomatoes. And here's the best part. Before the movie hit the theaters, everybody was saying, yeah, but look at the audience rating. It's like 89%. I'm going off that. Mm-hmm. Guess what that audience rating is now? An ugly, ugly 54%. And that's a want-to-see-it-and-did-see-it number. It's not very accurate.
Oh, jeez.
Wow, this is just bad. Look at these reviews. I don't want to look at it anymore. We're done talking about it. Goodbye.
I did see the number one or number two. So Fast and Furious 6 was up there, and Now You See Me, new movie that came out this weekend. I went and saw it because it seemed interesting. It's got Jesse Eisenberg and Isla Fisher and Morgan Freeman. It's actually got Lucius Fox and Alfred.
Whoa.
In the same movie.
Whoa. Stop. That's crazy.
Called Now You See Me. It's really, actually, it's pretty good. There's a couple of things that's like, all right, the not terribly believable as far as some of the magic stuff, but it's about a bunch of magicians who pull off bank heists and robberies and stuff.
Well, it's currently sitting at whenever it's in the 45 to 60% range, that usually means I'll end up liking it enough.
Mm-hmm.
But it's currently at 44. Anyway.
It's got a nice twist, but... oh, yeah, Hulk is in there, too. Ruffalo.
Oh, Hulk's in there? Oh, my gosh, another Marvel-DC crossover without trying.
That's right.
I love Mark Ruffalo. Love him. I'd watch him read the phone book.
He is great, and he's really good in this. He gets easily as much screen time as anybody else, so he's really good in it.
All right, well, looking forward to... do you hear about this new McConaughey movie, Mud?
No.
99% rating. That's really good.
We got one review in there, and it's from some guy, McConaughey, 1927, all right, all right, all right.
Nope, to 134, fresh, two rotten. That's pretty good.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, yeah. Reese Witherspoon in there. You like her and her chin?
Oh, yeah, no.
Okay, you're out.
I'm out. You had me until then.
No deal. Anyway, I feel bad for those guys, because M. Night Shyamalan cannot catch a break, and I like some of his movies. Okay.
Yeah.
All downhill since that happened in business.
In other news, M. Night Shyamalan is now available to direct your home video.
Whatever you need, he's there. Actress Jean Stapleton, known for her Edith Bunker character on All in the Family, has died. Best known as her role as Archie Bunker's wife in the groundbreaking 1970 sitcom All in the Family, has died. Her son said Saturday she was 90 years old. That's pretty good.
Well, mm-hmm.
I'd be very happy to make it that far. Her son, John Putch. That's like Butch with a P.
Putch.
Yep.
Putch.
Told CNN about her passing, and along with her sister Pamela Putch, wrote an obituary saying that she putched the fun in the family. Just kidding. She passed away peacefully of natural causes on Friday in her New York City home, surrounded by friends and her immediate family. No one gave more profound how to be human being lessons than Jean did, says Norman Lear, who produced and directed All in the Family. Goodbye, Edith, darling, is what he said. Norman Lear. I thought he was like a... I'm thinking of somebody else. I thought he was like a famous writer or something, wasn't he? Norman Lear?
No, he's just director of a lot of sitcoms, though, in the 70s.
He was like the dude that does Big Bang and Two and a Half Men. What's his name? That
Wait, guy. Didn't he do... Yeah, he's the guy who did write a lot of movies, though, like Honeymoon Suite and Same Time Next Year. So, yeah, I mean, he's a writer. I mean, he's a decent writer.
Still with us.
Screenwriter, yeah.
Born in 1922. That would put him at age 90 also. So they're contemporaries. Known for All in the Family, The Jeffersons, Sanford and Son, Good Times, and Maude. So all that 70s era sitcom stuff, he was all up in.
Didn't
that.
He? But aren't there some movie credits for him? Like,
yeah, like
isn't he the writer of Honeymoon Suite, Same Time Next Year? Am I thinking of somebody else?
Bunch of British stuff. Let's see. Mary Hartman. That's a TV show.
I'm maybe thinking of somebody else then.
1980s.
Oh, I'm thinking, wow, you're right. Yeah, Jeannie corrected me. I'm thinking of Neil Simon. I'm getting Norman Lear and Neil Simon confused.
Got it. He made an appearance.
Because their names
on,
are so similar.
This guy made an appearance on South Park. That's crazy. As the voice of Benjamin Franklin. What the heck, man?
I wish there was a database on the internet with movies.
All in the Family, Sanford's Son, Maude, Good Times, Jefferson's Hot Eye Baltimore, One Day at a Time.
That's probably hot in Baltimore.
Oh, it's only an eye there. That's weird. Mary Hartman, All's Fair, All That Glitters, Fernwood Two-Night. Now we're starting to get into stuff I never heard of. American Two-Night.
That's Fred Willard and is it supposed to be Martin Mull? Like this really funny comedy thing. I didn't know he was involved with that. That's supposed to be really funny.
All right, I have to check it out. America Two-Night is another one. Different Strokes, so we're more familiar with that. Facts of Life, Archie Bunker's Place, which is as good as MASH after MASH, as far as I'm concerned. Silver Spoons, Gloria, Square Pegs, a.k.a. Wow. Pablo, Who's the Boss, and 227. I remember 227.
Sure.
Oh, Sunday Dinner, The Powers That Be, 704 Hauser, and Channel Up D3. So that stuff at the end, who knew what that was. Anyway, good job there. We're not even talking about him. Why are we talking about him? Oh, I don't know, because he's her friend. All right, so happy birthday and happy death to everybody. Let's move on.
Wow.
I'm going to put a note next to this thing so you know what I'm doing here.
Okay. Did you see that I threw a sponsor read down below, or is that what you're doing here?
No, I'm gonna do that there.
Okay.
Where'd you put that?
I put it before mail.
Let's do. You know what? We'll save it for there. That's good. We'll do that.
Okay.
We'll take a break.
And I'll read that one since I've got.
Yeah.
Experience.
Yeah, you know what's going on with it.
Yeah.
Plus, there's nothing there. It'd be good if you read it because it's just a website. Right. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Steven Schleicher from Major Spoilers will be here. But before we do that, we like to play a song, and Brian's got a song. So what's the song?
I do. So email says, from Phil, says, "Hi, Caesar and Brutus. I'm a podcast listener from across the pond, hailing from the little English town of Bognor Regis. And I've been listening to... various Frog Pants shows since stumbling across the Current Geek podcast several years ago." Look at that. Somebody who discovered all the Frog Pants stuff via Current Geek.
That's awesome.
I hope I'm emailing you far enough in advance, but it's my birthday on 3rd June this year, and indeed every year. I'm turning the not very significant age of 26, and I was hoping to be considered for a song either on or around that date. Since it is also the official birthday of our Queen Liz II on that day, and my favorite band is The Who, I was hoping for a cover involving either the band Queen or The Who, if possible. Despite your refusal to pronounce the H in herbs, I still manage to find your show tolerable.
Okay.
Thanks, Phil.
Okay, here's a quick question before you go on.
Yes,
How do you feel about bands who use their name in their popular songs? And I don't mean rappers, because that happens all the time.
Right, you mean like Killer Queen?
Yes.
By Queen.
Right. Yes.
And Who Are You by The Who.
By The Who, right. That's what made me think of it. So where do you stand?
They Might Be Giants by They Might Be Giants.
Yes. Where do you stand on such things?
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
I like that, actually. Yeah, I think it's kind of fun. Actually, I put a mixtape together back in the early days with all the bands, all the songs that had their band's name in the title.
For me, it's like a little like movies where Harrison Ford goes, "There is a clear and present danger in Clear and Present Danger."
What about Talk Talk and their song Talk Talk from the album Talk Talk?
That one, that's the snake eating itself.
Or Living in a Box. Or In a
box.
Big Country.
Yeah. How about, is there another one? How many have done
Black
all three?
Sabbath by Black Sabbath.
Right. How many have got a song, an album, and a name all the same?
That's a good question.
That'd be a fun to Coverville one day.
Yeah, it would be. Well, except you got to find covers of these. And you know, I can find covers of Bad Company by Bad Company, but...
Oh, and Bad Company had an album called Bad Company, didn't they?
I'm sure they did. Yeah,
they had to. That's
Book of Love by Book of Love. Yep. That's Here Be Wonder and the Tadpole came up with that one. Yes. Bob Kelly said Black Sabbath.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy, right?
Yeah, it is crazy.
Anyway, sorry. Detour. Back on the road. We're back on the road now.
How about a cover of Queen's You're My Best Friend? This one is performed by Italian Scosters Giuliano Palma and the Bluebeaters. I'm inventing the word Scosters as a band that does ska.
I like it. It's pretty good.
This is from their album Long Playing. And if you like this, I mean, check out the rest of their stuff because this it's got a fun – I mean, it's an Italian band that does ska, and you just can't beat that.
All right.
This is You're My Best Friend, originally by Queen, covered by Giuliano Palma and the Bluebeaters.
All right, hold on to yourselves. We'll be back in a moment with Stephen. Stay tuned.
The 1958 Edsel, the car that presents originality and elegance never seen before in any car at any price, and presents them in 18 different models. This expensive-looking car is one of the Edsel Ranger series, a four-door ice green sedan styled like a hardtop.
Oh, why won't that play?
Hey, party time.
The Morning Stream. You didn't say the magic word.
And we're back. Hey, do we have a magic word? I don't think we even do have one.
We don't have a magic word.
What would it be if we had one?
Baboon.
Baboon, I like it. So let's see if Scott Fletcher. Let's see if Stephen Schleicher knows the magic word.
There you go.
See if he has any idea what we're talking
about. By the
way,
people, if you want to pick up either of the songs you hear on the show, remember, it's tinyurl.com/TMS Monday 1 or Monday 2, or, you know, just figure it out for any day of the week.
Yeah, do that. I highly recommend it. All right. It's Steven Schleicher, and here's his theme. All right. Steven.
Thanks.
Well, hold on.
Good morning. Good.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, man?
Good, good, good.
Yeah? Are you? Did you see anything from the Denver Comic-Con news feed that freaked you, out?
Well, nothing I don't think that really freaked me out, but I think the amazing thing is in there really had 6,000 more people than they anticipated.
That's a yes. lot.
Yeah, and it was big. Yeah, yeah. Did you go down to it, Brian?
I did. Yeah, I went on Saturday, and lines were crazy. And
yeah,
it was
a lot of people were complaining about it quite a bit. Now, you know,
well,
compared
they sold
to
out
just
on
a,
Saturday.
Yeah, just compared to a few years ago, it was like they were begging people to come to it, and now it's just like out of control.
Now, what do you suppose? What do you suppose is the cause of that? Is it the guests who came that kind of drives that sort of thing, or is it just general?
It's just the fact that we don't have anything, that we haven't had anything like this before, and there's not a close by one. Like there's, you know, you get your San Diego and Los Angeles, and there's lots of these geek events and conventions that you can go to. But
really, the closest thing to Colorado would be the Phoenix Comic Con, which took place a couple of weeks ago, you've got Planet Comic Con, which takes place in April in Kansas City. So this is kind of the big event for everyone in the central region of the United States to come to.
Yeah, like all of the Midwest really are coming to that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's interesting because we're getting our first attempt at this in September. There's a Salt Lake City Comic Con happening in September. They have a few headliner people like Riker's coming. I can't remember who all. But I hope, you know, I hope similar things can happen here. But it does seem like there's a lot of sort of groundswell for these kinds of events in cities all around the country. And it's totally cool that Denver's got the groove on like that. I think it's great.
I think the final number was something like 48,000 people. It's 48,000 went through the doors.
It's amazing, dude.
That's huge.
So when you say they had 6,000 people more than they expected, did they oversell? Was that a goof on their part, or what does that mean?
No, they just had a, you know, when you go, there's a couple of ways you can get into a convention. You can buy your tickets ahead of time, or you can show up the day of and buy your tickets. And I guess they had more people show up on the Saturday and Sunday than they anticipated.
Weird.
And they didn't have enough tickets for everybody. Kind of like Nerdtacular.
Ah, sounds about right. Well, don't worry. We'll have plenty of elbow room come July.
For 6,000 more people to show up?
And we may, you know, I mean, some people have said, well, why don't you parlay this into something bigger like a Comic-Con? And I don't know. We talk about this every year about what that would mean or take or require or whatever. And part of me is like, I like this nice, intimate, friendly thing that isn't just a throng of people. But then the throng of people has its advantages, too. So I don't know. We'll talk about it in the future. Steven, you're here, though, to talk about some nerdy stuff. Major spoiler zone, Mr. Steven Schleicher, and kind of an interesting week. Let's talk about the Doctor Who stuff that's just freaking everybody out on the internet.
Well, there had been rumors that Matt Smith was going to be stepping down as they approached the 50th anniversary. And over the weekend, the BBC and Matt Smith both sent out statements that said, yes, at the end of the year, November 23rd is the last regular Doctor Who special, and then there's a Christmas special that comes out on Christmas Day. The 23rd is the 50th anniversary special. But apparently in the Christmas special, Matt Smith will regenerate, and a new Doctor will step on board.
And do we not know? Because at one point I had suggested a couple of names, and somebody said, oh, they've already picked him. It's John Hurt.
Yeah. Well, okay, so spoilers, everyone.
Is this true? I mean, do we know this?
So,
I don't know.
So a couple of weeks ago, at the end of The Name of the Doctor, they are looking at the entirety of the Doctor's timeline, and John Hurt is there and they introduce him as the Doctor, but he is the Doctor who is not called the Doctor. Apparently, there's something previous to this. So John Hurt is not necessarily the 13th Doctor. He may be the Doctor in between the 9th and 10th Doctor, which would make Matt Smith the 12th Doctor instead of the 11th Doctor.
Doesn't that make it more? That seems like a likely story to me, because it doesn't seem like John Hurt's been sitting around waiting for this gig. Like he's got plenty to do. He's an old guy.
Right.
He's done everything from having an alien pop out of his chest to being Hellboy's dad. So he can get around. He can do stuff. He doesn't need this. But it's
I don't
a
think
cool
he's going
idea.
To be running very much.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of an interesting idea, especially if you were to go back in time and look at what that particular character, who, you know, even the Doctor says that he can't go by the name Doctor for something that he did bad in the past. But it would be interesting to follow that character. But there have already been rumors that, yes, indeed, that the new Doctor has been hired since Christmas. And some of the names that have popped up to the surface are Ben Daniels, who is on the recent House of Cards remake. Mm-hmm. There's Stephen Mangan. I don't know who that actor is. But apparently, shortly after BBC announced the resignation of Matt Smith, he sent something out on Twitter with him wearing one of the long scarves that the Tom Baker doctor would have worn.
Oh, wow.
And then there's a lot of others, including David Tennant, who was the previous doctor before Matt Smith. And a lot of people are like, well, how could that be possible? Unless he's regenerating backwards.
Ooh, what? So let's get Tom Baker. Actually, he died, right?
Yeah, no, Tom Baker's still alive. Yeah, Tom Baker's still alive. I want to say everyone from Tom Baker forward is still alive. Yeah. I may be missing one person, but
guys behind him aren't so much.
Tom Baker, easily the second most popular. He's the one that dress up as at Comic Con.
Oh yeah, well, he's the one that was there for the longest, and I think that's why people are having the biggest problems with these new doctors coming in and out, is because Tom Baker was there for like 7+ years as the doctor, and here we've got characters like Matt Smith, who I guess he's been there for 4 seasons, but I think that may not be
Eccleston was what, a year is all for Eccleston when they brought this back. So that was nothing. And everyone thinks he should come back. I'm like, well, I don't know if you can so much do that. Here's who I think they should pick. And I mentioned this on Twitter yesterday, because I do like the idea of an older guy. For some reason, that's interesting to me. To throw it back to like, oh, this isn't just some young, good-looking buck in the role. It can be some wizened guy. And I think it should be Jim Broadbent, one of England's versatile character actors. I'm reading his IMDb here. But he was in Harry Potter. He was the Moulin Rouge owner in Moulin Rouge. He's this great British actor who would be fantastic. And then somebody said on Twitter, they go, well, dude, he already was in some parody. I'm like, what? So apparently I can't even pick a name out of the sky without him already have done.
Wait a minute. What name did you say?
Jim Broadbent.
Now, he's the one that's in Harry Potter. You said he's a creature or whatever
his name is. No, his name is he's the dark arts teacher in the last 3 films.
Oh, okay. Because the guy who was the groundskeeper in the Harry Potter movies, I forget what his name is, he's actually playing William Hartnell in one of the 50th anniversary BBC documentaries on the history of Doctor Who that they're putting together.
Oh, weird. Really? Okay, that's cool. Yeah. I like that guy, and I forget his name, but on the show or in the books. But anyway, what's wrong with that? You know, like some old guy.
No. There's probably nothing wrong with that, except with each incarnation of the Doctor, the age of the actor is always going younger. And so some people have written that into the mythos that every regeneration, the Doctor is a younger person.
Eventually they're 3 and they got a magic screwdriver and poke himself in the eye. Like, what's that going to turn out like?
Yeah. Some people have suggested that maybe they should go for, you know, a teenager. Other people are suggesting someone of color, and people are also suggesting a female to come in and be the first female doctor.
That'd be interesting. But the only real sacrilege would ever be un-American, right? There's no way they do that.
No.
No. That'd be interesting. I mean, think about it. Like, I don't know who it would be.
Like the Inspector Space Time debacle.
That would be kind of like, I don't know, that would be kind of a slap in the face of Britons everywhere.
What if it was, stick with me here, what if it was Matthew McConaughey? What about that? How about that?
Oh, jeez.
All right.
Slap in the face and a kick in the nose.
Should we go back in time? It'd be cooler if you did.
It'd be like having an American play James Bond, you know?
That's a good point. Yeah, you don't.
Hey, I'd like a martini. Could you shake that thing for me, please? Instead of stirring
it? Don't stir it. Shake it. That's the way I like it. All right. Well, time will tell, I guess, what's going to really happen. But
And we'll know by the end of the year, if not sooner.
I love this kind of dust up. I think it's fun to watch how this all goes down. What do we know about the villain, the big bad person in Guardians of the Galaxy? Who is that?
Well, tying into Doctor Who news, Karen Gillan, who plays Amy Pond in Doctor Who, or did play Amy Pond in Doctor Who, has been cast as one of the female villains in the upcoming Guardians of the Galaxy movie from Marvel.
Oh, cool.
We've got Glenn Close was cast just this past week as
Cruella
the head
DeVille.
Of the Star Corps. Yeah. I think we're going to see over the next couple of weeks, because I believe production begins at the end of June, 1st of July for Guardians of the Galaxy. We should see the entire cast announced by the end of the month.
Michael Rooker is one of the villains?
Oh, wow.
What? Really? Oh, that's great. I like Michael Rooker a lot. Oh, man. By the way, anyone who thinks Michael Rooker is never anything but evil in his roles of anything, he's usually a bad guy. Go see The Replacement Killers, where he plays a cop. He's a good guy in that movie. Take that, stereotypes. All right, what else? So we're getting some... the Superman thing's rushing at us. Real quick, that tells us about the animated short. Is that something to look forward to?
So, yeah, this is something that was just announced. Last week, Warner Brothers unveiled the Superman 75 logo, which is somewhat sad because the actual 75th anniversary was like a month ago in April.
Yeah.
So they finally revealed the 75th year logo that's going to be on all the Superman products, including toys, merchandise, all of that stuff. And at the same time, they announced that Zack Snyder is working with animation luminaries like Bruce Timm to put together a animated short that is a one single take short.
Yeah.
That features Superman in all of his incarnations, going all the way back to the 1930s with the Max Fleischer cartoons and all the way up to modern. So,
sounds great.
I don't know how they're going to do that. You know, if he's as he runs through something or passes through something, if the costume changes or what's going to happen. And there's no real word on when this is going to be released. It certainly isn't going to run in front of Man of Steel that comes out in, as according to my son, Dad, it's only 11 days to Man of Steel.
Yeah, no doubt. Real quick.
He's super excited about that.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah.
Well, so Bruce Timm, that's a big catch. Yeah. I mean, having Bruce Timm in charge, that's a big deal.
Well, he's not in charge. He's working with Zack Snyder on it, and there's a bunch of other animators and artists that they're working with to bring their style into this animated piece.
Mm. People don't remember when The Matrix had all that animatrix stuff going on?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that those movies get enough credit for doing that thing that you're now starting to see more movies do, where they have this like augmented stuff, like an animated short here or some other little video thing on the internet there. And I think that stuff's freaking rad. I love it. And when do we get that? We don't know when we get that.
We don't know when it'll be. Probably, I'm going to bet somewhere around October, November. I would imagine it's going to be part of the lead up to the Man of Steel DVD release.
All right. I'm in.
People will actually get to see this at San Diego Comic-Con if they go and sit in Hall H, because that's where they will premiere it first. So that'll be at the end of July when people will first get to see it. But I'm going to bet the rest of us will see it in October.
All right, cool. Then also, for anyone who gives two craps, and maybe nobody does anymore, but the Terminator 4 Autobots have shown up. There's
Transformers 4, yeah.
Or what did I say?
Terminator.
Oh, did I say Terminator 4?
T4.
Sorry, buddy. Transformer. Yeah, I keep saying Transformers in my head. Yes, Transformers is what I mean, not Terminator.
Maybe what you really mean is that you wish they'd terminate the franchise.
I kind of do mean that. I think that's what I mean. But anyway, there's some shots. This looks like Bumblebee in this picture.
Yeah.
I saw something else the other day showing a much more flamed up looking Optimus Prime.
Yeah, and then there's a Bugatti and a C7 Corvette Stingray as two new cars that are joining the team.
To celebrate, I'm just going to watch Transformers Prime on Netflix, and that's a better that animated series. Two seasons are better than all those movies combined. I recommend people check that out. Have you seen any of that, Steven?
I have not. My son's watched one or two. I interviewed what's his name, Ghostbusters, who does one of the voices in that show.
Oh, the token Hudson. Black Ghostbuster
Ernie Hudson.
Hudson,
yeah.
Ernie,
yeah,
Hudson.
Ernie Hudson.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I can't remember his name, I have to think token Ghostbuster.
Oh, jeez.
He plays the sheriff. Military man, yeah. He's the guy that's always making sure those guys are staying undercover and not causing too much trouble or whatever, and he's pretty good in it. But the actual show is really, really good, and it's the first time that you've got Frank Welker and who does Optimus Prime's voice? Name just left me. Whatever his name is. Guy that does Optimus Prime. Anyway, first time they've worked together in this capacity doing Transformers since the original animated series in the 80s.
Wow.
And they're really good, both of them. That's fantastic stuff. So that, and I'll recommend that Tron show. Tron, what is it?
Oh, yeah.
I've
watched a couple of episodes Prime of that. That isn't too bad.
Tron Origin.
Uprising?
Uprising.
I almost said Dan's Modern Life. I said Tron Prime. That's a different thing.
Yeah, that's a different thing. That's really, really good also, and features the voice of the Scarecrow from The Scarecrow and Mrs. King. The guy who played Tron in the movie. Bruce Boxleitner.
Boxleitner. Yeah. Yeah.
And so is Frodo, and so is a bunch of famous people. It's really good. That show is shockingly good. Way better than that movie ever was.
That's one of the great things about Netflix is so many of these things are now available. And people who haven't seen Batman Brave and the Bold, and they've just recently put that up on Netflix. So my son just watches Netflix all the time when he's just kicking back, and he's seeing all of these shows coming up, and he's like, well, how come I've never seen these shows before? This is brand new. I'm like, no, it's a couple of years old, but you know, you get the idea. So he was watching Tron. He was watching Transformers. It's all good.
DC just owns this direct-to-DVD stuff. I love it. They do a really good job on all their stuff. Anyway, go check that out. Steven, anything else going on in your world you want people to know about?
Spoilers, Rosebud is the sled.
Oh, that's right. We haven't had you on since your big release a couple of weeks ago.
I will say this. I did give people a heads up because the Tadpool was listening, and I said, I'm going to spoil the heck out of this movie. And then I did give you an out to edit it out.
You did. It's true. Steven did all his fiduciary agreements. It's up to us at that point, and we are the ones that blew it. Blame us, if you don't mind. Well, excellent. This is all great news. Do check out majorspoilers.com and all the podcasts associated therein. You got anything podcast related coming up that you want people to know about specifically?
Don't we have a Comic Dorks this week?
We do. We're recording Thursday, so yeah, Comic Dorks coming up. And I think everyone will be there, so it'll be fun.
Yay.
Looking forward to that. And I've been reading a lot of books, so I'm excited to talk about them. Majorspoilers.com, everybody. Major Spoilers on Twitter. Steven, have a fantastic week.
Hey, you guys too.
Bye now.
See you, Steven.
Bye-bye.
All right. Let's move along here. Move along.
All right.
All right. I'm going to recommend that we do some emails.
Okay.
Before we do that.
Yes. How about a sponsor? The show today, TMS, is also sponsored by PeteRose.com. So Father's Day is coming up, and if you've got a sports fan in your life, maybe your dad, maybe your brother, whatever, uncle, grandfather, son, a gift from PeteRose.com is a great idea. He's one of the most accomplished players in the history of baseball. He is the hit king with 4,256 hits. He's also one of the more controversial personalities because he's been banned from baseball since 1989 for gambling. Yep. But there's no gamble in getting a great Father's Day gift from PeteRose.com. If you want to get something, TMS listeners get a discount. If you go to PeteRose.com and place an order, use the discount code TMSDAD15. You get a 15% discount on your order now through Father's Day. He'll sign it. He'll personalize it like a baseball, a bat, a cap, jersey, whatever you want. And he'll put whatever you want on there. He'll put Happy Father's Day to a great dad, or I'm sorry I shot JFK. Whatever you want him to write on there, he will absolutely write on there. Yeah. Go to PeteRose.com, put in your order today, and get your special gift in time for Father's Day. PeteRose.com, the official website of Pete Rose.
What's this? I found a video on the site of him doing something. What is this? Hold on.
So what do you want to play, man? Poker or blackjack?
This is on PeteRose.com.
Yeah, it's just over there on the sidebar.
Oh, in this Tumblr, yes.
I don't know what's going on. Oh, is it a Tumblr feed? Is that what this is?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Anyway, nice new site. Looking cool.
Thank you.
PeteRose.com, home of the hit king.
Yes.
All right, yes, go PeteRose.com. Use that code, save some money. Let's do some emails.
Sounds good.
Emails today. Oh, emails are brought to you by...
Yes, by The Final Score, the video game podcast for the rest of us, where Nicole, O'Brien, and Scott talk about the games of today, tomorrow, and yesterday, but not necessarily in that order. Subscribe at finalscoreshow.com today.
We had a great conversation about free-to-play last week that I think people would be interested in hearing out. Yeah, had a really good time on there.
What's the best free-to-play MMO out there?
Oh, man. I would argue that, I mean, because there are a couple of categories. They're the ones that are absolutely free right from the get-go. And you just paid
RuneScape
micro
or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, Lord of the Rings Online now, or the DC Universe Online, all that stuff. I think the best free to play straight up MMO, like traditional MMO, like WoW like game for free currently is Guild Wars 2.
Hmm.
I think that Rift being free to play may give that a bit of a run for its money. I think that's a pretty solid game, and that'll be later this month. But as far as free to play games, period. I can tell you the ones I'm having the most fun with. I really like Warframe, this futuristic shooter thing.
Oh, really?
Really
I've not
fun.
Even heard of this.
Absolutely okay. Free. It's on Steam. Doesn't cost you a dime. I haven't paid anything, and I'm having lots of fun progression, and it's got a cool vibe and kind of an awesome thing going on there. I like that game a lot. And probably Hawken is another one. Big mech shooter game.
Oh, yeah, right. That's the one that would be really good with the Rift, with the mm-hmm. Oculus Rift.
Yeah. Oh, and Defiance is the other one I'm liking quite a bit. Now, and that wasn't free to play. You had to buy it, but after you buy it, there's no subscription.
And we had a listener gift that to us in Steam. So.
Yeah, it's real good. It was Scotty D, in fact.
Scotty D, yes.
I think the game's way better than it has any right to be. So, and I'm playing it on its own terms. I'm not watching the TV show yet, so I have no idea what the tie-ins are, but it seems really strong, so I like it. Anyway, all those are good and more.
All right, very good.
Scott says, Mike, as the only person who knows, or thanks, as the only Mike. Person I know who likes Westerns more than me. See, this is fine. You don't like Westerns. You don't care for
them. No, that's true. Okay, so this isn't directed towards me.
What did you think of the end of True Grit in 2010? Was Matty Ross turning into a bitter, nasty person who didn't amount to anything, the expected result from her experiences, or was it just sad to have this happen to a character we were rooting for? It reminds me of what happened to Newton between Aliens and Aliens 3. Looking forward to N13 goodies from the Kickstarter. I thought it was a fine portrayal, and I don't think it did anything to turn it into a rusty old lady. I think it just meant she was tough as nails and had seen a lot and been through a lot and wasn't going to take any crap from people. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she didn't have an arm. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on with that lady. I love that movie. I think yeah. The True Grit remake was amazing. And truer to the book, by the way, than the first one was.
Yeah, I think so.
Really good.
I really enjoyed the Jeff Bridges one.
Yeah, bring in your you know what? Have the Coen brothers make everything. It's fine. Just have them make all movies, and I would watch them. I'm sure you should find this interesting, says Andre from Montreal. That's right up there near Vancouver, next to French. What's the other thing over there? It's up there in Canada, Brian. Where they all
which,
live,
which
they,
thing?
They all live across the street from each other.
Oh yeah, well yes. I was saying which thing in Canada?
Yeah, Montreal. Montreal's just down the street.
Montreal. Oh yeah, it's right there by Vancouver.
Alamogordo. Alamogordo. Green lights. Search for buried Atari games. So sorry, right. That's a town. Here's the deal. They're doing a documentary about the supposed buried in the Mexican desert, New Mexico desert. Of all those old Atari ET cartridges.
Yeah, right.
And he sent us word on this, and it's pretty exciting because I will watch a documentary that talks about this. Because no one's ever really, I mean, they all talk about it, but no one's ever actually shown me these things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bit of an urban legend among video game aficionados. Now a film company will excavate the old landfill located near the Charlie T. Lee Memorial Relief Route in Alamogordo. Is that the right word? Am I saying it right? Alamogordo.
Alamogordo.
All right. That's a stupid city name. Go change it. The city commission.
Remember the Alamogordo.
Yeah, remember that. The city commissioned approval on Wednesday or Tuesday night, a contract that will allow the film company Fuel Industries 6 months to dig up the landfill and search for the coveted bad games. No word on whether the search for the world's worst game when the search for the world's worst game will begin. Those will be hot properties if people are digging those up.
I think so. Yeah, isn't it funny that that hated game now is like, digging. I got this out of the landfill in Alamogordo.
Yep, totally crazy.
There was a music video from a band. I can't remember the band's name that did a music video where I don't think the song had anything to do with ET or the Atari games, but the video was them going to Alamogordo and digging up an ET game.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's cool. So if they find them, I would like to buy one. I don't know who I would talk to about that. I want one of those. I want it to be all dirty, too. I want it to be all crusted
up. Have some New Mexico crust on there.
Yeah, try to blow the dust out of that cartridge. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Hi, Seaborne and Bartlett. It's a West Wing reference.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Ken Cowan. The weather up here in Daryl and Chinbeard's neck of the woods, I guess he's talking about Washington State, yeah.
Yeah,
Has been pretty crappy and rainy for a few weeks now. It started really getting to me, and I was in a blue funk. I hadn't listened to TMS since last week, so I caught up today at work, and now I feel tons better. We are officially the solution to your seasonal affective disorder.
Lufunk was my prison nickname.
Yeah, of course it was. Gross. My coworkers usually give me weird looks. That was also your prison name, weird looks.
I was going to say Funk was my cellmate.
They give me weird looks when they see me laughing at myself when I'm listening to the show. But this morning I happened to be doing some work with glass, and I can only imagine what it looked like to them as I sat there and laughed myself maniacally while holding a blowtorch. I mean, he sounds like a badass.
Yeah, he does.
Thanks for cheering me up. Love the show, though. Ken Cowan. Well, thanks, Ken. I always like to hear when we're doing some good in the world. And I hope you get some damn sun up there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right, like they ever will. Terpster, right. Like, he was late for the instance on Friday because Terpster said there was finally sun in Bristol and there never is sun there. And he just forgot about the show time because he was so into just being outside in the sun. So I understand.
Oh, really?
I understand what the sun and the weather can do to a guy. I get it. I totally get it. Good morning, Scott and Brian, says Andrew. Final email. What bothers me about people's obsession with avoiding spoilers is that it assumes the end of the story is more important than the rest of the story. I would argue that a well-told story is worth reading, watching, hearing, whether it is spoiled or not. LTST, Andrew. That's love the show, though.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
I understand what he's saying.
I would totally agree with that. Yep. Yeah, I mean...
Does it hurt the story, though? You know what I mean? Like the rest of the good stuff, does it?
Well,
does
look
it...
at Sixth Sense, right? I mean, it's really about since I've just seen that, it's really about Cole as much as it is about Bruce Willis's character,
right?
And their the involvement that those two have together. There's, you know, of course, the spoiler does add to that, but it's not what the whole story is based on,
right? I'm going to agree with Andrew on this case, and with you. I think you, if the story's good, then it's good.
Yeah, Memento, another good example of that. There's a great journey to get to that spoiler at the end or at the beginning.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Yep.
Right.
All right, that's it for emails. If you'd like to participate in the show, you can email us as well, themorningstream@gmail.com. We're happy to take your emails, and please keep those coming. That's going to do it. Let's get the H out of here, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Brian's going to play a song, but before he does, a couple of quick things. Tomorrow, what is tomorrow? Tuesday. Chin Beard will be here.
Yes,
Fitness
Jury. Peak.
Jury will be here. Mm-hmm. I have no reason to believe that either of those things are not true, so look forward to that. I want to thank the team at Alpha Geek Radio for the Shoutcast stream today. Scott Johnson. Scott Fletcher for our voice bumpers. I would be Scott Johnson. I don't know if you're
familiar.
That would
be you, yes.
Get our t-shirt at /loot.com. You can find us on facebook.com/themorningstream. You can find us on the website, just generally, at frogpants.com/TMS. I mentioned the email, so I won't do it again. You can find us on Twitter, Morning Stream, Scott Johnson, and Coverville. It's time to whack the tally, if you know what I'm saying.
I think I get your meaning.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Get her little theme ready, because she has a theme, you know. Here we go. It's ringing. I see the little white lines moving. And here's the thing. There you go, Ryan. We've done what we came to do. Should we tally-whack it?
Make it so.
Hello, Cleo.
I'm upstairs.
Oh, are you?
Ooh, not hovering above the router.
That's incredible.
Yay. So you can recline in a chair and talk to us.
I am in the kitchen cooking all of the things while I talk to you.
Did it turn out that was the problem then? There was something wrong with the hardware?
Yeah, my router's downstairs basically in a coven of stainless steel and crap, so I had to put an extender upstairs.
Coven of stainless steel and crap was Brian's prison name.
Ouch.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, it's good to have you back. Time for us to count up the points and tell us who in the live listening audience won today.
Alrighty. The answer to today's Trek Nerd question may have been Musk and Seed Punch, but it sounds infinitely funnier if you use Easy Reader's suggestion of Sneaky Nut Punch.
All right.
Sneaky Nut Punch.
Sneaky Nut Punch is my least favorite Kool-Aid flavor, by the way.
Yes, that's not a good one. Not good in Jell-O shots either.
Nope.
And my least favorite wrestling move.
I'm a female and that hurts.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right, and ironic name cleaned up today. He turned my usual cover band name bit into a prison nickname bit today. So,
nice.
Rib Stealer in Texas, in the news, will be called Package of Meat in prison.
Okay.
And a select few lucky consumers will get the privilege of being called the Whopper Holder.
Nice.
Ooh.
Nice.
They all win today.
All right. Well, nice. Congratulations to the big winners today. May they ever reign in their seat of power. Cleo, always good to talk to you. And I'm glad you can not have to, you can just hover around whatever you want to hover around now. It's great.
I can hover over any damn thing I please.
All right. Have fun. Bye. Her prison name.
Excellent.
All right, everyone. That's it. Brian, should we do a little tune?
Yes, and I'm going to try and get through this long email very quickly.
All right.
This comes from Chris Williams in Livermore, California. Lucky Gator dude in the tadpole. Dear Sherman T. Potter and BJ Honeycutt, on Sunday, June 2nd, my father won the Flame Challenge. The Flame Challenge is a contest held by the Alan Alda Center for Communicating Science, and it is aimed at scientists and science teachers to better communicate science to children and help spark their interest. This year's challenge question was to explain, what is time? Thousands of 11-year-olds around the world participate in the judging of hundreds of submitted answers. It's kind of cool having the 11-year-olds be the judges as opposed to the contestants.
Yeah, love it.
After 3 long months of judging, it came down to 3 written and 3 video finalists. And what do you know? My dad done us proud. He won the written entry, flew to New York to the World Science Festival, and was awarded the Flame Challenge by old Hawkeye himself. Hey, BJ. since the family and I are so proud of my dad for explaining to kids around the world the questions of time, can you please play a cover for him? I would love to hear a cover of Steve Miller Band's Fly Like an Eagle, because, as you know, time keeps on slipping into the future. My absolute favorite cover of that song is by Les Paul on his album Les Paul and Friends, but the song includes his friend Steve Miller. So, do you consider this to be a true cover, even if it's sung by the original artist? Yes, I do. If anyone is interested in the Flame Challenge and they want to see his dad's winning entry, or if Scott simply wants to see how Senator Arnold Vinnick is holding up, you can visit centerforcommunicatingscience.org or simply Google the Flame Challenge. Thank you both so very much for all you do. Sincerely, Chris Williams, Livermore, California. All Lucky right. Gator dude in the tadpole.
All right. Right.
How cool is that? Congratulations to your dad. That is a fantastic award.
Yeah.
And have it awarded right there by Alan Alda. That is that is some prime. The chicken was a baby.
Yeah, the chicken was a baby.
All right. Fly Like an Eagle by Les Paul from the 2005 collection. Les Paul and Friends, American Made, World Played. Great version here featuring Steve Miller doing some guest vocals on here. So I would call it a cover because it is a reconfiguration of the song.
All right. Well, let's reconfigure your schedules to be here tomorrow for a brand new episode of the show. We'll see you guys then. Brian, thanks so much.
Thank you, Scott Johnson.
Chat room, you can all suck it.
Nope.
It's not true. I love you guys. And with that, I'll leave you with this. All right. Here it is. Fly Like an Eagle. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Smells like farts under this mask. Seriously.